Welcome to another Tech Lounge with me, Christian Schiller, presented a little differently this time because it's actually based on a video interview I had with Daniel, who is an independent Mac developer for many years. He makes Timing, Co-Typist, his two main apps at the moment. He was here in person with me in Berlin. Now, I set up two microphones, but they didn't quite work out. I'm a lot louder than him. I tried to clean up the audio as much as I could. It's a little bit of a shame because he's the most important person in the room and he doesn't always come through as clearly as he could, but hopefully there is enough there in the conversation. So a little bit of a caveat there I thought I would throw in. But I'm going to try and do more video versions of my podcast interviews moving forwards. Probably not always with the person in the room. In fact, quite unlikely, but still. I just wanted to jump in a little bit before and just mention that it's worth pursuing for him, even if my setup was not perfect at the time. So now we're going to transition to Chris wearing a different shirt, but basically with the same background. So that's going to be confusing. And enjoy. So it's very rare I have someone here. Not really set up for it. It's been a long time. But you're in Berlin and you're one of many, and we'll come to that in a minute, independent German Apple ecosystem app developers, which is an interesting conversation itself, which we'll come to. But I think as far as I can tell, it's two main apps. Maybe there's some I've not noticed, but I always forget.
Primarily
I always timing. Want to call it Timings, but it's not. It's Timing and Co-Typist.
Correct.
Timing you've been running for some time,
yes.
I think.
I think the first version came out in 2011.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I wanted to know how much time I was spending on the computer, and I was on Windows before that. And on Windows, there was a free and open source app called Procrasti Tracker, which would automatically track the time. But I wasn't satisfied with any of the solutions available for Mac at the time. Mm. So as a developer does, I figured I would build my own.
Yeah.
And been around since 2011. Back at the time, I also had some other apps. The feedback on Timing was more intense. So I decided to focus on that.
And it works quite differently from a lot of people who have used time tracking apps before. It's usually, pick a project and a task and click, and it's fairly manual. Whereas the interesting thing with Timing, and I used it for a long time, I've stopped using it. No issue with Timing. I just don't need to track my time anymore.
Yeah.
Is it will track things automatically based on application usage and rules and all sorts of things like that. How did you come up with that idea?
The idea was from Procrasti Tracker from that Windows app. Which I just had installed as a student, just tracking my time in general. And I knew I wouldn't be disciplined enough to track time manually anyway. And it wasn't for billing anyway, so there wasn't a forcing function behind it. So I figured if I do want to track my time, it would need to be done automatically. Mm. And so that's how I did it. And come to think of it, it kind of makes sense to, if you're sitting in front of the computer, to also have the computer do the tracking for you.
So. I'm actually going to, we hope that the video for this will come out. So I'm going to switch to a screen share very quickly because there we go. You said, why is the video not playing? I think Safari must just keep stopping it.
I should probably look into that.
Oh, no, I have AdGuard. I have a lot of content blockers, so don't get too worried. I do remember, actually, I started using Timing a while ago when it wouldn't track everything. And now I still get the updates from you, and you see you've added support for X, you've added support for Y, and even things like Electron apps, VS Code, Obsidian are ones I use a lot. And I think you had some problems with some of those. You would often have to, to begin with, had to set workspace paths or something to try and automate certain clients I was working for and stuff like that. So the general question is how hard has it been to get this to work over the years, I suppose?
That's a good question. There is in general, it's easy to track how much time you spend in any app, just by virtue of that being the app. And in general, it's also fairly easy to track the window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with some exceptions. And in some apps, the window title is going to give you a lot, and in others, less so. For example, with Slack, I used to go to great lengths to get that.
But that would be a very helpful one, wouldn't it?
But luckily, the Slack people eventually started putting information about which server you're in, or direct message you're in, into the window title, which made that part of my work much easier.
Okay. And is there anything you still can't track? They would like to?
Good question. I mean, so there's hundreds of thousands of apps out there, so I can't possibly support them all well. And in general, I largely focus on the apps that people really use to do their work, and only in so far as it makes sense. Like I can't invest dozens of hours into supporting a single app unless it's like extremely important. Like maybe for web browser or for say Chrome, would of course be a very high priority if that stopped working. Mm. One thing that happened a while ago was that Timing stopped tracking the full file path for Visual Studio Code.
Yeah.
So it would still continue to track the window title, which includes the file name, but not the full path. And I did investigate that. That actually sometimes also makes it easier with a lot of apps being open source or having an open source core these days.
I did investigate that one.
And you know, in a way, Visual Studio Code is like three layers. It's VS Code on top. Mm. Below that is Electron. Yep. Below that is Chromium.
Yep.
And it turns out like that the Chromium update changed something to how accessibility are handled, which I used to get a file.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Which would cause the corresponding Electron property for what you're editing right now to no longer be set, which then would propagate to Visual Studio Code.
Mm.
So. I and Claude investigated that and fixed that on the Electron side, kind of with a workaround.
Yeah.
And but then also you have to wait a couple of months to all the apps that use Electron.
Yeah.
And especially of course VS Code and Cursor.
Yeah.
I must admit I haven't recently checked whether it's in the release version yet, but. I think it should.
Yeah. Because you also added some other things recently. For example, I think you added phone call support recently.
Phone call
support.
Yes.
And also syncing across some devices, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So
I think that's probably when I stopped using.
Yeah.
So, and equally the AI summaries. I mean, we can't have anything without AI these days. So maybe just some of those new features you've added and maybe some justifications as to justifications. That sounds a bit full on, but like why you wanted to add them.
In general, time tracking is primarily for tracking your work time.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of make sense to at least give you some signal from as many sources as possible. We can import your screen time usage, so you at least get basic information when you use your phone. That one's been interesting because essentially we have to rely on completely undocumented stuff from Apple, but also Apple doesn't.
We'll definitely come back to some of that in a minute. Yes.
If you're a bit creative, you can make it work. Phone calls is a similar one.
Mm.
There's some limitations to that, but it just can be useful to roughly know when you call a client.
Yeah, for sure. Is that tracking by like phone number or contact or?
Yes. Okay. So essentially, like we get the phone number, and if you give Timing access to the contacts database, it will look up the phone number.
Okay.
If you don't give it access, it will just put the phone number itself in there.
Yeah.
And of course, the data is not being used for anything else.
And I can't quite remember Timing is a very good app for time tracking, but it's its own thing, and a lot of people will have to use other apps and services to submit timesheets and things like that. Do you synchronize with any of those or export to any of those?
Good question. I mean, so I've been meaning to add more in that regard, but never gotten around to it. These days we do sync back to ClickUp, you can essentially have Timing download your ClickUp task and show them, like, for example, when you completed the task, because that's a pretty good signal that you've been working on that also. So you see on the timeline that, and then you can create a time entry for that. And when you kind of select the ClickUp task when creating the time entry, then we can sync back those times to ClickUp. We've done something similar with Linear now.
Okay.
Linear doesn't have built-in time tracking support, but they allow for attachments.
Yeah.
Which is really, really well done. So
Linear is quite nice. I mean, it's from the same people who make Raycast, so they are...
No, it's not the same people.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
I think it's like a similar kind of startup style, if that makes sense.
I didn't realize that. They actually always seem to give the impression they were. They actually have an event here next week, so I can...
Well, say hi to Thomas.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize. I thought they were the same company because they seem to be very well integrated, but they are... They're doing well. They're doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of makes sense to adjacent or the tasteful apps work together in a way.
Tasteful.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Raycast and Linear are both like a kind of modern Mac app.
Yeah.
That does place a lot of emphasis on the user experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But less so in like the quirky way from the good old Mac indie days, but more in a polished way, but still very good.
Yeah. So let's move on to your new app, which is actually, I've been using it for some time and a lot of people keep seeing me use it. Like, what is that?
Yeah. So,
which is because a lot of people think it's something it's not, which is, I don't know, good or bad, which is Cotypist. And we can, if the video does come out, you can kind of see what it's doing, but maybe let's describe what Cotypist is.
Yeah, sure. Cotypist is like essentially just AI autocomplete, pretty much anywhere on your Mac. So whenever you type into a text field, like be it email, Slack, messages, and so on, Cotypist will look at that and like use a local AI model to generate.
Which is great. Yes. That is local.
like a logical ending to your sentence and then just show it in there. And you can either say, yes, I would like to have that, please. Or you can just keep typing if you don't like that.
Yeah.
And you can either accept the whole completion, which was usually three or four words, or just the next word, which is actually the default.
Yeah.
Because I've come to realize that, you know, the longer the completion, the more likely it is to at some point deviate from what you were actually going to say, because the AI models can't perfectly predict what you're going to say, which is a good thing, because if they would be, then what would be our purpose, right? I'm glad that it can't predict every word of mine. So with a single word completion, you can just pick and choose the words from even half the completion, kind of salvage that. And then after that, you just resume typing yourself.
Yep.
And for myself, for example, often enough, I just need to type the next two letters of the following word. And then it can already guess from that, okay, then there's not that many options left.
And personally, like I'll actually quickly show... I've done a video on it before, but it was some time ago, and it has got massively, I'd say improved. It was already good, but it was...
It was good, but there are still a lot of...
it's got
room,
even
still
better.
Further room for improvement.
Very quickly.
A lot of work went into that, as you can imagine.
Yes, permissions. We'll come to that in a second. Actually, this is one I didn't even realize because I'd forgot that macOS has its own inbuilt text suggestions. I think I did a comparison to that, but it's actually not very good. And it only works in certain apps, so it's not that great, unfortunately. The model, I have found that the larger you go, the better it gets, which is not really that surprising. Like a lot of people, have switched to these Qwen ones often by default. Same with Mac Whisper in some, actually, no, maybe not, but in some other applications as well. Mm-hmm. Model files. Now, this is interesting because I've found now I have a lot of local models and sometimes they're the same one. I'd love to find a way to manage this, but this is... I don't know if this is here or in the personalization section, but it is one thing I have noticed. Yeah, here. One thing I've noticed in more recent versions is it's got a lot better at knowing quote-unquote you, but also what you are talking about. I think I saw that in the screenshot stuff as well.
Yeah.
For example, I found in the early days of it, it didn't always know what I was referring to. because, so, you know, you jump around apps and things like that. But now I find it actually is pretty good at recognizing context, and it's all happening locally, which is amazing.
It oscillates between uncanny and not useful.
Yeah, exactly. The emoji one I've turned off because I have Rocket, and I realized, I kept thinking, where is this coming from? So I turned that one off. But
it's more
and the shortcuts you sort of mentioned here, this I actually find very helpful. I have now actually, I like your shortcuts so much that I've actually switched, like, because VS Code has its own completions, I've actually switched the shortcuts in VS Code to match yours, so it's consistent.
It used to be that the tab key would give you the full completion and the backtick key would give you the next word. And I'm just stuck with that because of muscle memory. These days, for the default is just the tab key for the next word.
Yeah. I think I switched it. I'm not sure,
It's easy to switch and customizable. But I have found myself pressing the backtick key in Visual Studio Code or cursor to the next word, which of course doesn't work because it's like they have their own.
I have switched it. It's great. And now you've introduced them. I haven't even looked into this yet, the app settings, which is great. You can also see, I mean, I'll come to statistics. It's like, you can see how helpful I find this. Actually, I find it very, very helpful. I should say the only negatives I've found, which you probably know about, is I've found sometimes I get conflicts and or crashes, I will say, with other similar tools. And I'm not sure if where it's coming from. Like sometimes things just freeze up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's clashing with Grammarly sometimes, maybe. Grammarly have annoyed a lot of people this week, so maybe it won't matter so much. They've added some sort of odd AI completion thing using data from authors, some of who are still alive. And we're not consulted on this. They have a big office here. I'm actually going to a meetup at that office on Monday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. I think this is the issue now. There's a lot of other apps kind of conflicting with these various APIs and autocompletes that you're using, and you can't count for everything. I think this is often the issue.
I try to mostly be well behaved, but there can be conflicts. Of course, I know about Grammarly, but haven't been using it myself. But
I'm slowly, to be honest with you, starting to use it less and less. Now, the interesting thing is, if anyone noticed whilst we're looking on the website, is you still are marking this as free during beta? But it feel like it's been early access for a while.
Yes.
When I feel like how do you judge? Because I've also heard it talked about on Mac Power users and a bunch of, you know, the types of people who are going to use it, I feel like are already using it. So when do you make that judgment call of like?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't gotten around to charging for it. I think like just quality wise for the past year, it could have probably been an official version one, just never gotten around to it. And I mean, for the time being, people get to enjoy it for free. So
Do you have any, are there any issues with distribution? Can this go in the App Store or no? Okay. Because of the, and you have timing in setup. Are you thinking of putting Cotypist in setup or?
I haven't made up my mind about
it. Okay. Yep. But it's actually a fantastic app, I will say. I found it. It's very, very good. And I like the fact it's local because I have tried others that are not and whatever. They cost for one. Even if you charge a subscription, you're actually saving people money in some respects.
For me, it's also like the calculation is about like the value
speed as well, I suppose.
So essentially if Cotypist saves you a substantial amount of time every month, in which can be measured in words completely, then I feel like it's justified to charge so small subscription which should be less than kind of
I think I would be personally quite happy, he says, sat with you in front of me, because I have found it very helpful. And that's not me. I really have.
I think a lot of people would be surprised that they would be still part of the free tier.
Oh, that's a good point where you can have that. So the interesting thing here is, like, you've mentioned a few areas where you're using undocumented APIs. A lot of interesting applications use accessibility API, which is always endlessly every macOS, like, is it still going to work? And, you know, pricing models and changes in the way people consume applications, which we'll come to a bit more in a second. There's like, and we've had this concept in the, especially in the macOS ecosystem for ages, of like Sherlocking as well, which is a very old term now, but I think a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Yeah. It comes from a very long time ago, but this this concern that your app will stop working, or that for whatever reason, I think the issue of Apple replacing it is less of a concern for some people, because often what they introduce can sometimes be a gateway to better apps. But, you know, this constant concern of like, will your app stop working to a degree where that's it?
This actually used to be a big worry of mine going into every single WWDC. Like every year I was like, is this going to be the year where timing can no longer work well? Specifically because it used Apple Script, accessibility, and so on, like lots of permissions. And there was a period of time from, say, 2011 till 2018, roughly, when Apple kept locking things down more and more with permission dialogs. After that, like that slowed down. And I mean, luckily, what I need to do is still possible. Like, I think it also
kernel extensions is one of the only things there, sort of, which doesn't really affect you. I think
I've been joking that I'm unable to create an app that doesn't require at least 5 permission dialogs. But that being said, on the Mac, I feel like that's now more the norm than the exception.
It really is.
I just feel like it makes sense to for people to make an informed decision. And if I'm able to gain their trust on installing the app and running it, then I'm happy about that. If not, then that of course is also fine. Like nobody's forced to install the app, and I'm only requesting the permissions that I need.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Back then I was worried about every WWDC, whether this was like the one where they just lock it all down. Largely they have stopped adding things that require permission, except with a pasteboard and screen recording a little bit. But this stuff is still possible. The warning dialogues on the permission dialogues did get a little bit more escalated in terms of language.
Yes, we there's been lots of discussion around that the past couple of releases.
And again, it's what people make out of it is
on their own.
I do my best to explain on my side, like where I can control the messaging of why I need these permissions, what I do with it, and what I don't. For example, the CodeTypist app won't take, or it takes screenshots, but it won't save them anywhere or send them anywhere, stuff like that. It's just like to improve the completions. For example, also in the WWDC, when Apple announced screen time for Mac, which I think was macOS 10.15, Catalina, so that must have been around 2019, I was worried that that would impact timing. It really hasn't. I mean, also screen time is fairly limited. In some ways, it might even have helped me by raising awareness. I think with CodeTypist, it's the same. I do hope that users can still continue to make an informed decision.
The interesting thing is, I think if they did improve their own autocomplete, it's highly unlikely they're going to spend any time making it work in all the apps because they don't really.
I think in theory, owning the operating system would make it easier for them to work in a lot of.
Maybe, but do you think they would bother like working in Electron apps and things like that?
They could easily be able to.
Okay.
That being said, I think like CodeTypist works well because it gives you a completion all the time. which you can always choose to ignore and type over.
Yeah.
And I don't think Apple would be that aggressive. And also, Apple is like a big company. They really have to tread this line carefully in terms of not being seen as like telling you what to think or what. Mm-hmm. Let alone, you know, accidentally suggesting an expletive or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
Which are reputational risks that I don't have.
Like, yeah.
Which is not...
I don't think I've seen Cotypers doing that, but I don't tend to use them as much as maybe...
Yeah. Which is not to say that I don't care about the quality and so on, but I do feel like the advantage of Cotypers is that it can give you more completions if you feel like that, than Apple would be able to easily do.
Yeah.
And on the expletive side, I haven't seen it myself. I did receive two messages from customers where it did suggest one, which is not like because I programmed it in. It's just
the
nature of these models.
Yeah.
It is difficult to perfectly filter these out, and I haven't concerned
myself. Do you do multiple languages as well?
Whatever the model supports.
Okay, true. So yeah, I mean, yeah, fair enough. You can blame the model. Okay, I'd like to ask two more questions. Let's start with maybe a more negative one, and then we'll hopefully end on a more positive one. So, again, you already mentioned Claude in there. There's been a lot of conversation around how the ability now for people to create applications is going to cause a lot of issue for people like you, who have, I think, made a living out of being an independent developer. Because now, well, if I want to make, I don't know, I feel like making timing would be quite hard, but Cotype is maybe I could, I don't know, myself in an afternoon. Technically, I could, in theory. Could I be bothered maintaining it? All this kind of stuff is a whole other conversation, but, you know, I could make my own app a lot easier than I used to be able to. Have you noticed much kind of change in either interactions you get or change in business in this space yet, or is it just talk?
Yeah, well, that is an excellent question, and something that has been on my mind a lot, as you can imagine. I keep oscillating between being very worried, a little bit worried, somewhat worried, all over the place, kind of. And it definitely is easier to keep building an app. And it might also be that eventually when you don't even tell the AI model, I want an app, you just tell whatever, I want my workouts tracked. And the way in which the model delivers this value to you is by building you an app. We could get there. And I do think that this will be, in general, make it more difficult for a lot of developers in a lot of regards. Especially if you're under differentiated, if that makes sense. And that being said, I try to build proper productivity software where there's also value and, you know, being like essentially having a human to talk to and to be somewhat accountable for this stuff working. And so for the time being, things are still working out, but I have no idea how the next years are
going to
be.
It's true. And maintenance is actually one of those big things. It's quite easy to make an app in an afternoon. It's a lot more work to maintain it.
Yes,
it's something that people often forget about.
It's become much easier to build an app, but also to kind of abandon it if you lose interest. And previously, I think people wouldn't even go so far because the starting was a bit more difficult. But I do still think that losing the losing interest part is still happening a lot.
Yeah, and I've been actually amazed of surprised how relatively good it is at building macOS apps, which to me unfortunately feel like a niche platform. But I mean, it's in Xcode now as well. I have noticed that some of the results are sometimes outdated and things like that, and they need a bit of tweaking. The interfaces especially can be a little non-standard, but yeah, it's a good start point. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the distribution and all this kind of is a whole other issue as well, which I can't help you with. So I think many would argue that they hoped Apple would use those a bit more behind the scenes to help distribution. But
differentiation rather becomes more of a...
true. We talked about the transcription apps. Like, there's so many now, and I'm struggling to find the differentiation points, which is why I tend to stick with Mac Whisper, because, again, it's a person like you. They do a good job. They've always kept it maintained. They've been doing it for a long time. that is a point of differentiation. Yeah. Sometimes human trust is a point of differentiation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do feel like if the AIs are going to commoditize so much, then there's things like this become in a way even more important. The trust.
Yeah.
What you stand for. Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, that wasn't really a question. It's fine.
To be honest, I'm not even sure whether we are going to use computers in the current sense anymore in a couple of years. But that being said, like, that is a future that is difficult to prepare for.
Yeah, yeah.
So for the time being, I'm just still continuing to try building the best apps I can and useful ones.
Okay, Well, that was a reasonably positive answer. I'm going to go to my last sort of question, which is a positive one. I'm going to do something a bit weird. It makes sense in a second. I'm going to open my applications folder. This may be a me thing, but we'll see. Okay, I'm going to quickly go down a few. You might start to spot the pattern quite quickly. Ableton. Let me think. I know some of them, so I have to go. So Ableton is one. Logic, technically speaking. Anything by Steinberg, co-typist. There we go. DevonThink. I've also got in here somewhere. There's so many. I've also got in here somewhere. Grand Total, I think.
Yes.
I think it's in setup folder.
That's from a good friend.
Yeah, Grand Total. There we go. I think Receipts maybe as well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of others, but have you spotted the theme?
The square icons?
No, they're all German people. Yeah. Logic originally. I think the team is still here. There are quite a lot. Oh, Ulysses is another one. Yes. I don't actually have it anymore, but there's possibly more in here somewhere. But an awful lot of good independently made, oops, wrong camera. A lot of independently made, well-built Mac applications. I mean, Ableton is cross-platform, but it's still pretty good. And they're actually just down the road from here, going to their office tomorrow for a meetup, actually, are made in Germany. Do you know of any reason for that?
I'm not sure. Like a historical thing. Although, I mean, for example, I came to the Mac from kind of the iPhone in a way. Like, I used to have an app for Windows Mobile, actually. It was an advanced graphing calculator app, and I figured I could sell that on the iPhone App Store back in the days. And I got myself a Mac Mini to build that app, and that's how I got to the Mac, and how I also got the motivation to track my time on Mac and build timing. For others, I think they have just been around for
some of them have been around a lot. Yeah, they've all been around quite a while. I think all of those have been around for some time as well.
And I mean, Grand Total technically isn't German but Swiss.
Oh, okay.
But the mentality is
it integrates with German banking things, which is always amazing to find because they usually don't. So.
And he's definitely like in the German speaking area and very popular there. My best guess would be that we don't have as polished, as well designed apps as whatever Pixelmator Pro that I see there. But I do think like that we put a lot of effort into the engineering and the side, maybe less on the design or the UI UX, but more on the how things work under the hood, if that makes sense. Like,
maybe
just
hard to say. To be fair, I would say, for example, in that example, Grand Total, it's very good at what it does. Yeah, the UI is a little bit all over the place. DevonThink is both, I would say, for what it is. I mean, it's a very particular app that you have a very particular need for, so you kind of know why you're using it. I mean, Ulysses is pretty slick.
It's also a bit from a newer generation, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, even my own apps, I wouldn't say that they are super well designed.
But a lot of yours are more in the background as well, which is a different sort of UI as well.
Yeah, so I mean, the front and center of UI can be a bit overwhelming.
Maybe,
But I do try to actually engineer them well, so they work well, and a lot of craft and love.
Yeah, that. I've been super fascinated, especially with the music ones like Logic and Ableton, and I think there's some others as well that I keep forgetting. I'm sure someone told me once that the Avid Pro Tools that had some German origins as well. I'm not sure if that's true. And there's others I know that people will be shouting at me for that I've forgotten. And these are all very native, very performant applications, which is a whole other aspect. They're not, most of them are cross-platform. So there's a slight difference, but they're high performance.
Yes.
Music apps have to be high performance.
So let me add one more app to that list, which I find very impressive. And that's called Money Money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I've seen it. Yeah, yeah.
It's an online banking app, Mac only, from a German developer.
Hmm.
And
I may look at it. I use another one at the moment,
I think he's actually from Berlin. I think he sold 90% of his company to like a not sure private equity or like a
that's a whole other conversation.
But that app is incredibly well made and it's incredibly good at what it does. Like it connects to pretty much any banking provider in the German-speaking region.
Yeah.
Plus also pretty much any credit card that you can get issued in Germany.
I may have a look. I've been using a different one, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But
with Money Money, I've been impressed. Like all the kinds of accounts that one can have, they support them all, at least for a German person, and keep them updated, which must be like a ton of work, because you know, with thousands of banks, at any given time, there's probably one bank updating anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they keep it updated and working well. So I've been very impressed with that app. And I mean, I think he sold it as a one-time license for 30 or 50 euros.
Yeah.
I think like a subscription for that every year would be more warranted. Yeah.
No, there's a lot like I reckon it's Scrivener to a lot of people. And again, people often, because it's writers who not always have the most money, it's like, oh, it's a bit mad. I take to them, okay, it's under, I think it's under or just around 100 euros, dollars, and I paid for it once a long time ago. So really, it doesn't update very much, but it doesn't really need to either. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of things like this. So, I mean, generally speaking, as a kind of wrap-up question, you know, I tend to find it's a small, and very vocal community around the kind of like Mac indie app developer world. But does it feel healthy to you at the moment?
That is a very good question. And or as you were already formulating the question, I was thinking like, what state would I see this in? Mm. And I can't really tell, because I do feel like it has changed a lot with the advent of AI coding.
Mm.
And in general, I would say that over the last 10 years, the indie community has gotten quite a bit smaller. With like it simply has become more difficult to build and sell apps and make a living from that. On the other hand, there's also been new opportunity with AI, also new players, for example, Sindhu Sohus.
Mm-hmm.
Who's making a lot of apps.
So I think I have a couple in there.
The question is, how many people are doing it full time versus on site?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the old school Mac developer with a little bit of some of the apps that you mentioned, I think that has become a bit less with. Overall, there might be more apps, but less of the old school apps.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether I would call that a bad thing, because, like, you know, it's just different with the time.
Fair. Same with a lot of bigger SaaS companies and things as well these days. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I still love the Mac as a platform.
That's often something I say, is that people kind of criticize you for it, but like Windows often feels like there's very little consistency. And similar with Linux, like a lot of apps have come to Linux now, but this often because they're using Electron. I kind of like the fact that macOS still has this nice potential for consistent, well-made, well-architected apps, and the automation ecosystem around that as well is a very good one that is missed by a lot of people. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's once you kind of dig into that and go deeper and deeper, it's like, oh my God. You could do a lot here if you really want to.
Yes.
All right. So for timing, it's timingapp.com. Mm-hmm. For Cotypist, it's cotypist.app. I did actually dig around. Do you have like just like a website for you that represents all of what you do? I don't think you do. No, I couldn't seem to find it. No.
I guess there's something amazing in that regard, but haven't put much emphasis on on such a site anymore. It's I build the apps, I take pride in the apps, but I'm less presenting myself, if that makes sense.
Well, nice to present you. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to Berlin.